He describes in this part some a few practices which give rise to bhakti. And one practice is to observe the festival days or appearance days of the Lord. During this festival days, we try to celebrate the Lord as much as possible by hearing about Him, like we will do now in the Bhagavatam class. We have different kirtan events. In the afternoon, we will again gather together to continue listening about the deep significance of why Krishna removed the Bakasura demon. And then in the evening we will have a few very important programs, most important, the Abhishek and the Midnight Arati. There will also be a surprise. We will have a very nice just a visit to Vrindavan, it's called. Krishna's land of appearance and his pastimes. Also, he discussed the very this day for the serious practitioner to refrain from eating food. The reason of fasting during the appearance day is to observe what is called a little tapas, a little austerity, which will help us to take the mind away from our own sense gratification, our eye-centeredness, our humiliating. It is conducive to bring us to a more Krishna-centered way. One devotee yesterday came all the way from a foreign country, and I said, please make your Jamashtami celebration the best by observing it in a Krishna-centered way, putting Krishna and his pleasure entirely into the focus. And I request all of you to do the same. You are great devotees. You have the seed of bhakti in your heart. It is an astonishing phenomena to meet persons like you in this world. Please let us join together our hearts and our voices and our hands to give Krishna a very nice birthday celebration. So, thank you very much for taking note of this. We will now go into the prayers of Queen Kunti. In these prayers, Queen Kunti asked the question, why does Krishna appear? And she gives a few reasons. We have picked text 35, where she says that he has appeared to deliver the conditioned souls from them miseries which they have accrued due to residing in this world.
Parismin Krishyamananam
Parismin Krishyamananam
Avidya Kama Karma Vini
Avidya Kama Karma Vini
Shravana Smarana Dhani
Shravana Smarana Dhani
Garishyam Iti Ketchana
Garishyam Iti Ketchana
Avismin Krishyamanana
Avismin Krishyamanana
Avidya Kama Karma Vini
Avidya
Smarana Tiketsana.
Parishyami Tiketsana.
Yes, someone else, please.
Parishyami Tiketsana.
Material creation.
Asmin. Asmin.
This.
Vishyamananam.
Of those who are suffering from.
Of those who are suffering from.
Avidya.
Avidya.
Nescience.
Kama.
Desire.
Karma
bhi. By execution of fruitive work.
By execution of fruitive work.
Shavana. Hearing. Smarana. Remembering.
Ahani.
Worshipping.
Worshipping.
Karishya.
Karishya.
May perform.
May perform.
Iti. Thus.
Thus.
Others. Translation. You can see the scene before your eyes. Queen Kunti is standing before Lord Krishna, who is just about to leave Hastinapur for Dwaraka. And Queen Kunti talks about his appearance. She indirectly may indicate to Krishna, don't go, come, stay. So she says to the Lord, who listens very mercifully, and yet others say that you have appeared because you wanted to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pains might take advantage and gain liberation. So she says, my Lord, others say, other authorities, that your reason to appear was you wanted to give no strength to those means of bhakti by which one can attain you, that is, to hear about you, to remember you, and to worship you, etc. So you came to bring new strength with your appearance, to rejuvenate this. And here's the purport. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that he appears in every millennium just to re-establish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture a new path of religion, as is the fashion for certain ambitious persons. The factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as the supreme authority and thus render service unto him in spontaneous love.
A living being cannot help but render service, because he is constitutionally made for that purpose. We cannot help this. We have to render service, because that's what we do. We wrist watch a stick, the water, or the sun rises in the morning, and we do service when we are healthy. The factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as the supreme authority, and thus render service unto him in spontaneous love. A living being cannot help but render service, because he is constitutionally made for that purpose. The only function of the living being is to render service to the Lord. The Lord is great, and the living beings are subordinate to him. Therefore, the duty of the living being is just to serve him only. Unfortunately, the illusioned living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses by material desire. This desire is called avidya, or nescience, and out of such desire, the living being makes different plans for material enjoyment centered about a perverted sex life. He therefore becomes entangled in the chain of birth and death by transmigrating into different bodies on different planets under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Unless, therefore, one is beyond the boundary of this nations, one cannot get free from the threefold miseries of material life. That is the law of nature. The Lord, however, out of his causeless mercy, because he is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect, the Lord appears before them and renovates the principles of devotional service comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, cooperating, and surrendering unto him. Adoption of all the above mentioned items, or any one of them, can help a conditioned soul to get out of the tangle of nations and thus become liberated from all material sufferings created by the living being, illusion by the external energy. Do you wish to become free from entanglement and ignorance? And do you wish to become free from material suffering?
Yes.
Why? It hurts so much to suffer. This was very good. It hurts. So then what do we have to do? Prabhupada says so nicely, you must renovate, make a big renovation, house renovation in your life. And see, this is not just a text, it's an instruction. Today we should become like Gaurahari sometimes when we used to travel and we ran out of Lakshmi. Then Gaurahari took out his special suit, the painter's suit, that was full of colors. And he went somewhere and he painted and he renovated a house and came back with 3,000 euros that we could continue. So today is house renovation for all of you. Well, what does this mean? Renovate your hearing about Krishna. No sleeping this morning, if possible. Sleeping is done now, finished for today, or at least for now. Renovate your chanting, renovate your remembering of Krishna, renovate your service, very important today. Make a plan of doing some service for Krishna. Renovate your worship for Krishna. Very important. Soon we have Deity Darshan. You need to pray. I remember one of my god brothers, he said, how sad is the life of someone who comes before Krishna and has nothing to pray for. Empty heart, move. Renovate your heart, no? Pray. And then you must renovate your cooperation. Maybe you are at the moment on the passive model, the sleeping model, like a sleeping telephone. Now your telephone G's, it's required you start to cooperate more, become active out of the. We need active agents for Krishna cooperating. And then renovate your surrender. By doing this, you stop the hurt. You become free from entanglement. And by the way, this is not just something which is true during one boring hour of the lecture day. It is to be meant to be experienced. This particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let us pray. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishnapishaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanande Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prachaya Vishayane someone only by chance observes Janmashtami, the Lord is extremely merciful. Extremely merciful, and will make such a soul eventually his associate in the spiritual world. Our day. When we celebrate Janmashtami, it is very important that we become aware of Krishna's position. Is it possible to take another modus? This is so agitating. It's like a Turkish knife or so. You feel like looking at a Turkish truck, you know. Thank you. It's a festival day, I guess it has to be over. If you don't mind, I'm a superman, but when I see such a thing, then I can only look at this. So. Thank you very much. Yes. It's important to reflect a little bit about the special position and situation of the Lord. Jiva Goswami says the Lord needs to be glorified because for attributes he is extremely merciful. He performs extraordinary pastimes. He is stunningly beautiful. And there's a fourth quality which I forgotten at the moment. So, the Lord, we want to glorify Him today. We don't want to make the mistakes of the fish. Once it was Ashtami, full moon, and the moon rose. There was one fish in one pukur, a little pond. And he saw how the moon was coming and he was reflected in this pond. And the fish was highly interested. This is a new fish? And he went to the moon and he touched it with his snout to taste the fragrance of the body. Then he asked the moon, "What type of fish are you? I've never seen you before." Although the moon had appeared in this pukur where this Bengali fish was situated, the moon certainly was not a fish. It was sailing freely in the sky. The fish was in this little smelly pukur where people go in the morning to relieve themselves. The moon was of a different category. So Krishna has appeared in this world amongst all of us who are somewhat imprisoned in this world of birth and death. But he is totally beyond us. Therefore the Lord addresses this point of dealing with him and especially his appearance. In the Bhagavad Gita he says, "Janma kama cha me divyam evam yo vati tatvata." He or she who understands my appearance in truth, he has a very special result is for those souls waiting. Puna janma navityati. They chaktva deham punar janma. Chaktva deham. Yes. Puna janma chavityati. So those who understand this karma, his activities. And his janma, his experience, they don't have to take birth again, but they certainly become to Krishna and become an associate of him. This is a very, very wonderful result of understanding Krishna. Let us not make the mistake of the fish and think Krishna appears to be ordinary. No, it is extraordinary. When Krishna prepared to appear, some changes in nature occurred. The laws of nature became reversed. Although it was not Satya Yuga, there was peace and clarity. Although it was not springtime, there was the fragrant smell of the Mogra flowers. Mogra flowers have a very sweet fragrance. And all the seasonal flowers, they began to blossom and spread a very nice atmosphere. Although it was not summer, the mango trees were covered with very nice, fragrant mangoes. And although it was not really autumn, just before autumn, the sky and the waters were very clear. What was especially significant, one Acharya writes, I think it is Kavikarnapur or Jiva Goswami made this notice, that the atmosphere was pervaded with the sound of the holy names. Now, when we read this, we decided, it was, I believe, Gaurahari's idea, and then we discussed the idea a little further, that we would try to create an atmosphere here in Golokadam, in the valley, an atmosphere where the sound of the holy name would be heard from morning till evening till late at night. Now, the Lord appeared simultaneously in two places. He appeared in Mathura, and this is described in great detail in the Bhagavatam. But he also appeared in Vrindavan at the same time, which is also described in the Bhagavatam, which is written about by Srila Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami and Vrindavan, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And because we are followers of the flute-playing Krishna, the darling of the Vrindavan, Vasis, I will today concentrate a little bit more on his divine appearance in Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami makes the observation that when Krishna appeared, he didn't appear like an ordinary soul who is coming because of the sperm combination with the ovum, but he appeared from the heart of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, because it is from the heart where love and affection comes. Love and affection comes from this place, and only persons who relate from this place to another person, from heart-to-heart relationship, affectionate, they have a close connection. You may have a son and hate him, which is possible, and then that son is not really a son, and he is often, nowadays, I have talked to Jai Gopal, who is counseling families with trouble, some relationship is sometimes removed from one family where there are hateful circumstances and is brought to a loving family because some relationships have are met with love. Kann man das zeitlich begrenzen, vielleicht eine Minute machen und dann aufhören? Wenn das geht, Gesundheit.
Das tut gut.
Dann versuch doch, und wenn es geht, dann mach es bitte. So, wenn es nicht geht, dann nicht. The Lord appears out of love. It's a loving thing. So, because there's so much love of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, this is why the Lord appears. When the Lord appeared in the house before Yashoda, she looked at him and she asked herself, is this a huge sapphire? He has the face of a moon, which is so effulgent. Is this a moon? And he waves his hands and feet. This is what mothers really like. But imagine the Lord starts to move his hands and feet. And she understood he does this only to destroy the darkness. In this way, the Lord was really appearing in the house and giving great joy to Yashoda. When she looked at her child, she was actually unable to say anything. She was stunned because the beauty of Krishna and what came from him was just so lovable. That she was so very much moved by this. I heard there is a song in Braj Bhas that there was a little lamp next to Krishna, and the lamp was shining in the room, and the lamp started to cry. Krishna, why are you crying? The lamp said, you know, I'm a lamp, and soon I will be extinguished because I have only a limited duration of burning, and then I cannot see your beautiful face any longer. And Krishna then said to the lamp, oh, all right, I make you shine, you know, you won't have to be extinguished. So it was a very special type of appearance. It was a song from Vrindavan. It just shows a little bit the love which is the mood. And then Krishna started to cry. Now when children in this world cry, I think it's a joyful experience for the parents, but for us ordinary people, it's sometimes like a spear in the ear, you know. When Krishna cried, did you know how his cry was? This is Kavi Kanapu, he says. His cry was, oh, can't do it in the moment. He chanted, oh. Like this, he cried. It was a very nice cry. I think this must have endeared to the yogis. Krishna appeared in the home of Yashoda, and I have to turn to Madhavananda for the detail. He came with a twin sister, Yogamaya. I think she came out first, is it? She came out first because it is said Krishna appears by the help of Yogamaya, and then just very briefly after Yogamaya, the Lord appeared. Now Yogamaya was helping Krishna throughout his pastimes by making all these inconceivable activities. For instance, when Brahma later had stolen the cow, that boy, a little detail which Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur supplied, Yoga Maya had really expended a set of cowherd boys which were not the real cowherd boys. The real cowherd boys stayed at a place in the Yamuna, because how can Brahma steal Krishna's associates? They were facsimiles associates, you know, expansions, like Ravan was stealing Mother Sita, but this was a Sita which was a monochrome Sita who could move, you know, it was not the real Sita. So Yoga Maya helped Krishna in incredible ways, and if you study the pastimes of Krishna, you will see that energy of Yoga Maya, the sister, working from behind the scenes and creating amazing effects in the pastimes of the Lord. So she appeared first as a baby girl, and then Lord Krishna appeared. And it is described in great detail how the Brijvasis were informed and how Nanda Maharaj was called and came. And then came a ceremony which is the navel cutting ceremony. I do not know how it is called, but there's
Jata Karma Sanskara. Jata Karma
Sanskara. Yeah, good. Jata Karma Sanskara. It's a certain ceremony. The baby has to now move on its own, but it's still tied with the mother through the umbilical cord. I do not know if you have seen. I have not seen, but I've heard there is a very good relationship, very strong. So it needs to be cut. So now listen very carefully to a mystery. This is from Jiva Goswami. There was a Jatakama ceremony where Jiva Goswami wants to make sure that we don't think like the Bengali fish, that the Lord is just another one of us who also had this string, you know. So the nurse came and brought all her surgical instruments to do the cutting. But then she looked at the umbilical cord. She looked, maybe there's some under some cloth for it. I can't see it. Then she looked at the navel of Krishna and she couldn't find it. Then she exclaimed with amazement, "I can't find any umbilical cord. In all the navels I see cords. But in Krishna's navel there is no cord. There's only a lotus design." A lotus design is there. This is explained also in the Bhagavatam. Nama Pankajana Vaya, Nama Pankajaline, Nama Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. I offer respects to you who has a lotus navel, who wears a lotus garland, who has lotus eyes and lotus feet. And then then Krishna, seeing the perplexity of his people, showed his feet. And everywhere. And there's a prayer. The devotees said, the lady said, "O Lord of Braja, you have a conch, you have a wheel, you have a flesh, and you have lotus on your feet and on your limbs. Everything about Krishna, my dear devotees, is truly amazing. It is not ordinary. And they prayed. And I want to ask you to fold your hands in prayer. O Prince of Braj,
O Prince of Braj,
O young child,
O young child,
please protect us for a long time.
Please protect us for a long time.
Give us auspiciousness.
Give us auspiciousness.
We desire to see your smiling face.
We desire to see your smiling face
at all times.
At all times.
And then they continue. We will. Thank you. The fortunate person will see you playing with the cows. You will kill the demons with your strength. And you will give special results to your devotees. And I think we hear about one of these results which Krishna gives to the devotees. When you sincerely think about Krishna's pastimes, there's a special result which is there for all of us here in the material world. Queen Kuti says this. If you hear about Krishna, starting to wake up. I'm sorry, I'm a little tired. It's a long festival. Queen Kunti says this in the next verse. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. No? So, when you engage with Krishna, in any ways, if you add Krishna in any way to your life, then, my dear devotees, you will see the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. This is a special result. Brahma, Shiva, the great rishis desire this. Rupa Goswami says, who am I to desire to see you? To have love for you in my heart. It's a result which even the great sages don't dare to ask for. But those who engage in these processes of bhakti, they will see this. And this will bring me to a point with which I would, so the last point, I will explain it in some detail, which is very much my own the meditation on Jamashtami. There is something which I need to tell you. We have to learn who a person is by knowing his desires. And I have one desire, many desires in my heart. Some are not good, some are very good, I think. There's one desire in me, in relationship to presenting Krishna consciousness like I do now on this seat. When I sit here, I have a desire in relationship to my audience. Especially on, I believe we as devotees or as conditioned souls have a way of externalizing the spiritual life and avoid internalizing it. For instance, I was amazed to hear in an interview which I had a couple of days that a devotee, a very old devotee, was thinking of Krishna consciousness as a way to make a career, a spiritual career, that is, to move upwards in a hierarchical sense of position, temple president, country president, world president, guru. So I was telling the devotee, you've lost your heart. It's not about this. This is secondary place. The real meaning of coming to Krishna consciousness is to connect with yourself and with Krishna. There is a real, there is a self in you which is entirely spiritual and which wants to leave the limited atmosphere of the repeated cycle of birth and death. And it's about this cultivation, this inner cultivation. We have a way of externalizing spiritual things. A big subject nowadays is clothing. I very much appreciated the lecture yesterday on the Leela of Krishna. That clothe it. Dress in the way which is suitable for you. And when you are in the temple, try to dress in a way which is, which is sending the devotional signals. Dress in a way which cultivates a devotional, a spiritual feeling, and so on. But that's all what can be said about dress. There's no need to make a big subject about it. And when it comes to preaching, yes, it's important to say, dress properly. Prabhupada used to say, first dress, then address. And yes, there's a lot in saying that when we preach, we should see how we are perceived, so we can adopt some changes so that our perception is better. But it's not a crucial matter. But we in a spiritual movement have a tendency to externalize things. The important things is spiritual strength and spiritual cultivation and feeling how our heart becomes free from what hurts us, that is lust and anger and greed, and how we gain love of Krishna. That is the most important subject. So I have observed also in my own life the tendency to externalize things, to avoid the real spiritual topics. And that's not good. That is what happens in movements as they over the time, because they become involved on the social level, how to arrange themselves together. I have this desire, however, especially on a festival day, to internalize the spiritual subject. And I want to ask you a question. Is the appearance of Krishna only a historical event which finds place in ancient literature and so on, or is it something which could happen today? I want to ask a more deeper question in this line. Is the appearance of Krishna only something which happened to the Vrajavasis and the Mathura Vasis, Devaki Vasudev, sorry, at that time when he appeared with Vishnu to them? Is it something which happened only 5,000 plus years? Or can Krishna appear also nowadays? And then further question, could it be possible that Krishna appears in your heart? What if he could? I mean, I'm just asking theoretically, I'm not saying. What if there really is a Krishna? Think about it. What if there really, if it's a really true that Krishna is the holy name? I don't mean just for a philosophical lecture and say, yes, philosophy. What if all of this is true? This is a deep question which we should ask. There is a purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita where it says when Krishna appears in the heart of the devotee, that's when the unbecoming things, lust and greed and anger, are removed, you know. Then the devotee should make a festival, and he should sing and distribute prasada. In other words, Prabhupada says, and this is not something just in the book, which has reality in the printed word, he seems to really be serious in saying Krishna can appear in the heart. And this is, by the way, the decoration there. It's not just a beautiful decoration, it's for some of you maybe a philosophical challenge. Has Krishna appeared in your heart? Are you Krishna conscious, in other words? This means, do you think of Krishna? And do you not forget him? This is something. And the question is now, what makes Krishna appear in the heart? Queen Kunti gives an answer to this question. It's these processes of bhakti, which Krishna came to rejuvenate, that is, hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on. When a conditioned soul seriously takes to this processes of bhakti, then Krishna appears. My dear devotees, don't think how you will get Krishna. What not, young husbands? You are just talking about this all the time. No. Listen, I have a little idea to challenge your intelligence a few times by saying one thing and then apparently another thing. It's the same thing, but don't hope to get Krishna so easily. Get bhakti, because Krishna is very fine. He only comes when he finds bhakti in your heart. Bhakti which is rejuvenated, which comes by this hearing, worshipping, etc. That should be your one of the missions in this festival. Oh Janardana, there's a prayer in the Vavishyatara Purana. Tell us the day that Devaki gave birth to you, O Vaikuntha. We will perform a festival on that day. Oh Keshava. Yes, we can also say, oh Keshava. May you be pleased.
May you be pleased.
With that festival.
With that festival.
Performed by those.
Performed by those.
Who are completely surrendered to you.
Who are completely surrendered to you.
On this day, I want you to develop some bhakti for Krishna. Let's make a festival. Have you ever ausgerichtet a birthday festival? Have you ever planned a birthday festival for someone very dear? I think you must have. Maybe there. Oh yeah, then people ask him to stay outside of the door, and then we have put the room and we have painted it in his favorite colors. And we have all prepared our presents, we have prepared a garland made of books because he likes to read. And we have just surprised him in a very nice way with our arrangement. Then we will send someone out. I do this when I'm in small circles, and then we call the person in, and then he comes in. And last time I celebrated the birthday of a very dear devotee, and I dressed like a magician. And I said, I wish, and I waved my magical board that you become a great devotee. So this is what you do when you celebrate someone's birthday. You are creative. You want to surprise them. You want to create a memory which that person cannot forget. That your presence, that what you do, what you sing, and so on and so forth. So this is the devotee's brain like this. Give us your date. Give us, when are you born? Like here at the festival, maybe some young man comes to a young friend, a young other man. I want, give me your mobile phone address and give me your time of your birthday, and then I will send you an SMS. And then the other boy says, yes, my mobile phone is this and this, please send me an SMS. the idea is there. We know this idea. And so, but on this day, what we need is bhakti. Bhakti brings Krishna. There's a verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where this it says Krishna does not give bhakti very easily because bhakti controls the Lord. The Lord becomes so indebted to someone who loves him and who does the seva. So he does not give bhakti very easy because bhakti controls the Lord. And then the verse continues, however, people can achieve bhakti to the Lord very easily by serving Damodar during the Kartik month in Mathura just once. That's why devotees like to go to Vrindavan, the area of Vrindavan Mathura, and they do service to Damodar by waving a light every evening and doing other things, and also releasing the deity of the Kartik month, Srimati Radharani, because the bhakti comes very easily in the heart. And when bhakti is in the heart, then only Krishna will take birth. So, why is it that Krishna gives bhakti not so often? He doesn't give it like so easily. Is it that he is unwilling to give bhakti to the devotees? Why is Krishna so hesitant to give bhakti? Why is it said that he doesn't give bhakti very easy, but moksha he gives easy? Is he unwilling because then he has control? The devotee has control over him. Like I have a bicycle, a very good bicycle, and I have a key to that bicycle. Now Madhusudan lives with me, and I'm hesitant to give the bicycle key because then Madhusudan can take the bicycle and go when I need the bicycle. I cannot go. The bicycle is not there, so I may be hesitant to give a key to something which is very important. So is Krishna thinking like this? I don't want to give bhakti to my bhaktas in the world because then they have the key and they can go anywhere with me. They have control over me. Listen now very carefully. It is not so. Krishna wants to give bhakti, but he needs to see that one disease has been stopped in us. This is the disease called the divided heart. In Sanskrit, it means yogyata. You must be yogyata. That means you must be. You must want Krishna. This quality, you must want Krishna very much, will induce Krishna to give you bhakti. Without this, suffering from the divided heart is very, very difficult. The divided heart is, I have a divided heart. I want Krishna, But I also like a little adventure. For instance, I want to go to China, and I will combine it with Krishna consciousness. I will preach there, and only preach morning till evening. But there's also this little mix. Oh, China, to see the Chinese, to hear them, and to experience the culture. Maybe to walk one time through Beijing, or Beijing, or what it's called, and so on. I have this divided heart. I like adventure. I went to Mountain Kailash, that is very high up in the mountains, to visit Lord Shiva's place. And this is a little bit my interest, my divided heart. And I like other things which I'm too shy to say in a public assembly. I like Vishwadev's Moringu Ku energy balls, for even I'm a little shy to say this. They taste so good. You can get them in Govinda's tent. I'm attached to this. What can I do? Moringa. Something esoteric from Africa. Strength. This is called a divided heart. It's a very serious problem in spiritual life, but also in material life. There's one musician, well known in this world, Sting is his name, and he wrote a beautiful song, Moon Over Bourbon Street. It's about a priest who counseled someone, you know, the priest does. And then he fell in love with that girl, which a priest should not do, and had some affair, and it came out, and he is now not daring to show his face in Bourbon Street where it happened. He's sneaking around, feels like cursed, and so on and so forth. And then there's this beautiful line, I seem to do the things which, I forgot how it is, I heard it a little while ago when I gave lectures on the divided heart, you know what it is. I do the things, no, I destroy the things I love. And I love the things which destroy me. Something like this. I'm not a regular hearer of modern music. My taste is different. But there's a very good line, was there? Very good line. I do the things which are not good for me. This is what is meant with divided heart. I love something, but then I do something else. This is very bad, and it tears us apart. It's also material life there. We have a sabotage program in us, which goes against us. We could do so much if we don't, would always do the opposite of what is good for us. Like people smoke, for instance, although they know it kills their lungs, or they quarrel with those they like most, their children, for instance, and then the children leave the house prematurely, and so on and so forth. We often are divided. This is very problematic when it comes to Krishna or Radharani. We want. We say we are devotees, we are even dressing like devotees, do with all the this and the that, so on. But our heart is divided, it wants something else, and we are sometimes not strong enough to go against this. So there is a medicine against the divided heart, which is the art of prayer. If you want to know the art of prayer, pay one more time attention and then you get it. The first kind of prayer is the Sampratanatmika Vigyapti. Sounds a little foreign to you, I know. It means a simple prayer where you express what is in your heart. Rupa Goswami supplies this prayer. He says, just as the mind of young woman is naturally attracted to boys, and the mind of young boys is naturally attracted to young girls. So, just as it's natural for a young woman to look in the direction of a young boy, it is natural for a young boy to look in the direction of a young woman. I saw this when our Matajis were dancing so energetically and so, everything was dancing. And the young boys were. It's called in English, they were stealing a glance. It is natural that the young boys and young girls, this is the young girls also stealing a glance to the young, energetic Medanga players. It is natural. It is part of the human condition. So just as this is natural, please, my Lord, make that my mind goes to you. This is the Atmika, Samprat Panatmika prayer. A prayer there of surrender which comes from the self. It is that. Then the other, next prayer, you should pray to Krishna like this. Please, make my bhakti natural. How far can I go if I just have to force myself all this? Then, Dainya Bodhika. Bodhika means to wake up. Wake up. In Dainya, in the feeling of wretchedness. A prayer like this would be, there is no greater sinner than me. So many offenses have been performed and are performed by me. If I come to you, my Lord, and I'm just so ashamed to tell all of this, what I do. I'm so it's so shameful with me. This is Dainya Bodhika. Take on a humble mood, and then you can go and progress to Lala Samayi prayers. This is you desire something. Oh my Lord, when will the time come when I will go to your Yamuna, and when I will dance at the banks of the Yamuna with great happiness and chant your holy names. So this is necessary. It is necessary if you want to reach Krishna, my dear devotees. You have to take a knife out. You have to do a surgery in your divided heart. It's not possible to invite Krishna when your heart is already full with so many non-Krishna things. It is not possible. There's no place. You know, when we have guests, which we often have in our Gaura Bhavan, we have to take things out of that one room so that we make room for the guest. And Krishna is not just a guest, he belongs there. He belongs into your soul. So take this guy a little out. We pretty praise like this. Tvayi me anya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit Ratim mudvahatat adha gange vogam udanvati. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganga forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my rati, my attraction, be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Prabhupada says, to cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements like affection for someone else. That's not the point. The devotees should be very affectionate to each other. But they should be affectionate because they are going to Krishna. And the devotees, listen to this, should also be affectionate to themselves. You shouldn't hate yourself. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about this. He says, let me be affectionate to the other devotees. Let me be affectionate to the Gayatri mantras. Let me be affectionate to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, etc. Then he said, and let me be also affectionate to myself, because I am inclined to Krishna. So it's not a new age concept to love yourself, but the spiritual concept would be not to love yourself and become egoistic and selfish, but to love yourself as a devotee of Krishna, to see, oh yes, I have this human form of life, I somehow have understood about Krishna. Let me take care of my body and my mind in such a way that I can serve Krishna. Now, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's point. It's not about becoming more selfish, but becoming more Krishna conscious, wise. This is the idea in this. Hare Krishna. So, are you sometimes thinking of how you can become more Krishna conscious?
Yes.
That is there.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you sometimes sad that you are not so Krishna conscious?
Yes.
That is also there. So today, I request you, you can ask for this yogyata, this quality that Krishna, please make my heart go in your direction. Kvikoti so nicely says, well, let my feelings be like the Ganga who forever flows to the sea without hindrance. Please allow me to love you more. Please make an arrangement that my heart just flows to them. Wouldn't that be a nice prayer? Because the moment you stop being so divided, yes, Krishna, outside Krishna, inside Maya, outside dress, like, or act, and inside, ooh, Krishna. I sometimes say, if I would hook an electrical cable, I would go to Hari Seva and say, you are our Sampan, Hari Seva. Just take one electrical cable, put it in my head, then amplify it and put it over this loudspeaker. Oh, I would be embarrassed, but what you would hear, you know. Yeah, and it's too long. I want to really sleep now. And outside. He doesn't know what to sing. Oh. Let me sing. Right. Stop, my dear. Why did he get overtime? This is not fair. There's a better singer coming after him. Why is he so indecent? If you would hear all of this, what goes on in my mind during the kirtan meter, you would never invite me again. I know. isn't it nice to laugh about someone else? And he talks about the same problems which we all have. It's so weird. But I guarantee you, if I would now single out someone of you who was sitting next to me, because I had a cable and just locked myself in for just 2 minutes to just see if I'm the only one. It's an ability which some people have. They can connect via, it's called wireless connection. And the computer only tries to imitate what is there in the human societies. It's time immemorial. Yes, this is a divided heart. It's a problem. And it becomes a problem when you really want bhakti. Therefore, these prayers are very good. My dear Lord, let my mind flow naturally towards you, like the Ganga. Oh, here's an example of young boys and girls. It expresses the same thing. Dainya Bodhika, wake up in feeling, oh yes, I'm actually not as good as I pretend to be. But then, don't be hopeless. Ask for some service. Ask for something. Krishna will certainly give it to you. It will certainly be given. Good. Hare Krishna. I want to see now if you have a question. Not all at once, please. Yes, one.
Yes,
again,
you said you should chant always the holy name 24 hours. Can you give you some advice how we can do? Because we try, but sometimes we forgot.
Yeah.
And after some time, remember again, is there some.
Yesterday, we heard that we should always try to chant the holy name. Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. And we try to chant during the day. I live in a guest house and I always hear devotees singing in the rooms, in the corridors and so on. It's nice because we try to learn this, to chant as natural as breathing is. And how can we come to this? In Hari Bhakti Vilas is a statement. It says only a person who has acted for many lives piously. I think it means devotional piety, you know, devotional, can constantly chant. I have this secret hope in my life that after many lifetimes I will come to this, that the holy name is always there. And we hear from the history of Vaishnavas that some Vaishnavas would always chant, even when they the daughter of Vastaka, Hirmanta Thakurani, would always chant. Even when she was in lectures, she chanted. And Mahaprabhu also chanted. He had this problem once because he chanted in the bathroom. Always. That's another story. So, how to come to it? Krishna Karuna, it can't happen by mechanical way. Okay, let me somehow have, maybe I should have a tattoo or this chant and then I'm reminded. You know, it cannot come like this. The way it comes is if you become humble, just genuinely humble, and have that feeling of dina. It's a certain mood which comes due to three factors. It comes when you feel you have made a mistake in your life to be here. You have, I will say it in American English, I have blown it. You have that feeling, if you feel everything is alright, I'm great, it just doesn't come. You don't turn to Krishna. Why? Everything is, you feel, I'm great, no? awesome and extremely beautiful, even in old age. You have some illusions about yourself, and then why turn? Then you cannot turn the feelings to Krishna. So you must have that dinata, that feeling of wretched. It's not artificial when you just think, oh, I came here to this world, and I'm acting as if I'm planned to continue to stay here. I'm really out of tune here with the Vaishnavas, with the real Vaishnavas. Like this. But this is very dangerous for a person like you. Then you would think all day, I'm so bad, I'm so bad, I'm so bad, I'm so bad. That's not the idea. That means you're turning to think again materially. You think about yourself. What is so interesting in yourself, being good or bad? You are a work in progress at the moment. You will become good. Humility doesn't mean to think, self-master. Look at me. I just took this plate and it fell out of my hands, of course, because I'm so bad. I, me. This is totally uninteresting. Think about Krishna so easy. That is real humility. I think in our Hare Krishna movement, sometimes this dinata has not been understood, this feeling. Because the devotees begin to think about, first they used to think about their so-called good qualities. I'm so handsome, I'm so well educated in the German language, and so on. And then they think about their bad qualities. The scriptures say good and bad is just a mental concoction. It is. Think of Krishna. Think of Krishna. And the hope for the hopeless. When you're drowning and there's a ship coming by, will you think that I'm not so cold, I'm so drowning? You think, wow, a ship is coming by, ship jeep, go. Your mind will be all on the ship. So when you are, when we drowning people see the chance of Krishna consciousness, let us think about the good ship Krishna consciousness.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah.
I heard a story about Bhavananda Prabhu. He was flying first class somewhere around the 70s. So Bhavananda Prabhu was flying first class, and it was very obvious that the flight attendant was very disturbed because he was dressed as a monk. So she was going like this every time she went by him, and eventually she gathered enough courage to confront him and said, can I ask a question? If you're a spiritualist, how come you're flying first class? And he said, well, actually, I am on a mission. I should be the only one flying on this plane. I don't know why all these people are acting. So that's just to illustrate that if there was a way to amplify our thoughts, you will probably be the only person invited to this festival.
Okay, no. Okay. Stay proud and silly. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Guruji, we are in this strange situation that we are among devotees who are very interested in just talking about the philosophy and not Krishna Katha. And I'm thinking about my kids. If I have the very limited time, and what should I do? Should I associated devotees who just want to talk about philosophy are just say this time for me, myself, to read about Krishna. And what should I do? It's a dilemma. Many people, they don't want it. I'm not qualified, but...
It is according to the need, your sadhana or spiritual practice, and for us hearing about Krishna Katha or philosophy, is a sadhana. And can, as we evolve, become more than a sadhana. But it should be a nourishing sadhana. And you should see what nourishes you. Especially when you are older, it's very important that you monitor your spiritual life and see what nourishes you. Sometimes we need to hear philosophy and the philosophical description is very important for us. Sometimes we feel, oh, I need to know now about Krishna. I felt that very much. I was preaching and doing service on the festival when I said, many services, and one is preaching, and I was there, and I knew there's some Krishna Katha in the temple. And I said, I have not heard, I have done so much. Before the festival, I was traveling, and I had to spend with the non-devotees so much time. And I really need to hear now about Krishna. And I went to the Krishna Katha lecture because I felt my heart was yearning like this. But then there are times where I really need to understand the philosophy of the Gita very precisely. See, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sounding as if I'm dead now from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it is good, the two things are good. He says, when you only eat sweets, your digestive power may not be sufficient to digest it. Some have the digestive power to digest only sweets, the Vatula Brahmanas, for instance. At least when they are young, in the old age, I can see also there's some problem with their bodies. All the sweets. Then Sanin is required. So this understanding about Krishna's glories, Aishwarya, and also philosophy is bringing us to this. We need to hear, you're not the body, Mandaleshwari. You're not the mind. Sometimes devotees only take sweet and they cannot digest it. And you can see it in their behavior. It has some dysfunctional behavior, not dysfunctional, but some behavior which is not the way of great devotees, although they try to imagine this. No? So sometimes you need to see what nourishes you. It's like a meal. Sometimes you're a housewife, you know how to cook. Sometimes you know, now better. I cooked pizza yesterday, I cooked pizza today, and I plan to cook pizza tomorrow. Then all my family is sick and complains about stomach problems. So I better one day pizza, and then I do the dale, having purified dale, and so on. And you must monitor the spiritual life and see what nourishes you. So usually when we don't know this, we should ask someone who is placed in a superior position devotionally, either devotees who are more advanced or our spiritual master. It's a real important question for us. No? It's never either or. Like I can tell you, because I know you are. I have a tendency, I like very much Krishna. Fucking. I don't talk so often Krishna Lila because I know my audience needs a balanced diet. but I personally like very much. But very interesting that the Balaram's appearance day, I realized I should also read Bhagavad Gita very regularly. And I got it present for Bhagavad Gita at the Siva, so I just can be taken every day. I guess it should be in. Where is it? No, it's in my room. That would have been nice if I could have shown you. But it's usually always in the bank because it has a zipper. It can stay there unharmed. And I begin to understand. It's very important. This philosophy has to have a balance. But then we need, then we can see that we need what? Good. Krishna Chaitanya, please.
In the Prabhupada Prabhupada is speaking a few times about we should practice spontaneous devotional service. What could it mean exactly? Because sometimes it seems to me from my understanding that sometimes we could have some idea to make like some spontaneous devotional service, but it's coming from our condition, from our own desire. So what could more deeply mean
I would like to refer you to the Nectar of Devotion, where there is, where this is explained. Many of us devotees feel that sometimes within the social discussions these terminologies get weighted down with, you know, circumstantial things, and we forget what these terms really really mean. Now in this audience, your question is really, I'm not sure if I totally understand how to do it properly. Sometimes we do it out of our mental imagination, and it may not be according to the Sampradaya or according to Krishna's desire. Or
I would say, you know, Krishna's desire. Or
no. I will give you a a very careful answer and a very open answer. Because the truth is neither in one camp nor in the other. It is in the camp of maturity. There is a problem with, and has been a problem in our society, with the interpretation of spontaneous devotional service. And devotees have interpreted spontaneous devotional service, which according to the scriptures is not motivated by the fear to not follow everything properly and then go to hell. Interpreted this, okay, let's become a little bit free with the rules of regulations. I have no longer fear. And so on. They have interpreted it to mean, okay, Vaidhi Bhaktas go to Mangal Aarti, I don't go to Mangal Aarti. That's spontaneous devotional service. But that I have personally seen, I have, that is obviously not the meaning. The meaning is something that the devotional service is impaired. Spontaneous devotional service is not motivated by a selfish concern. Okay, if I don't do this, I will suffer. It's motivated by the spontaneous desire to give pleasure to Krishna. No? This is very important, that it's about motivation. So when something comes from this place, you do spontaneous devotional service. I believe Prabhupada has instructed us in this by saying, do this for the pleasure of Krishna. He wanted that we do it with a proper motivation, and not the motivation which, you know, this rules and these rules, people have, I follow this, by following this, I get moksha, or I get freedom from this suffering, and so on. Now, I think the best expression for spontaneity, spontaneous devotional service, is in the activities of chanting, where you can chant for the pleasure of Krishna and even give rise in dancing. So I was very I spoke to some devotees who chanted, who danced very nicely. I said, it is very nice that you dance, please make sure you dance for the pleasure of Krishna. And the devotees had informed me, yes, we are aware of the danger. We are not doing this, we dance for the pleasure of Krishna. I was very satisfied to hear the answer of this, these devotees. And it's an expression of spontaneity. Now, the whole subject matter, how to awaken the spontaneous desire, that you have to hear a lot about Krishna, and you have to visit the pastimes places, and so on. That's a whole science which I feel at one stage deserves a proper treatment so that it is properly understood, and we can maybe ask scholarly Vaishnavas who can present it very tastefully and very well researched for us. But here, in the scope of this lecture, I would say there is a danger when devotees try to come in contact with Raganuga, with expressions, terms like Raganuga, Bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service, that they carry on the disease into this realm, that is selfishness. Then it is not really spontaneous devotional service, because the motivation is not to give pleasure to Krishna. The motivation is to still many or most of the Vaidhi Bhaktas have to do this in order to save my skin or to have any other selfish reason. So the way I understand our particular line of Srila Bhakti, which was taught from Bhaktisiddhanta, kirtan is a very good forum to express spontaneity, to sing for the Lord, for the Lord's pleasure, connect with Him, look at Him, give pleasure to His ears. Like Gaurahari always says, the Lord has very fine sense of hearing. His skin is already so fine when the leaf comes in the forest of Vrindavan and falls on the skin, because he wants to associate with Krishna very closely, then a little imprint is there on Krishna's skin. So very fine, Krishna is so very fine. So he has also a very fine sense of hearing. So to chant for his fine sense of hearing, that is very good. And you can express what is inside. I can see Gaurahari here with the vibration of "you are too long." So I will end the class here. Okay, have I read your vibration properly?
It was not too intense. It was
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Krishna Jamashtami ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandini. Thank you.